Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most biased podcast network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
I'm Dusha. And today we are joined by a very special guest, Gemma Bastiani. Welcome back to the show, Gemma.
Hello. Thanks for having me back when I asked to come back.
Well, look, if we want to get like that, we haven't asked you back because you, since appearing on How Good's Footy last, have had an astronomic rise in your career, and we didn't want to ruin that by having you appear back on this show and drag you into the dirt and the mud of How Good's Footy.
I don't know what I've done for it to be astronomic.
You can't be Australia's second best footy statistician when you're around people who disregard facts.
No, but you make me look better, Tom.
Well, you should be on every week then.
And Sean, got a question for us?
Mates, how good's footy?
Pretty fun. Good.
There, this, as far as weekends of football have gone, well, let's say weeks of football, this one, pretty fucking big, because not only did round 22 have some interesting results in the AFLM, we had one of the biggest and most exciting AFLW announcements that we've had in a long time, which is more clubs. Gemma, you have been dying to talk about this, and your podcast hasn't come out since this has happened, so I'll let you take the floor because fucking hell, it's big.
Well, it's probably a bit unfair on you to throw it completely to me because your club's coming in.
Yeah, Essendon have
so
decided.
So is yours.
No. Tom, Gemma has the floor.
Okay? Yeah, sorry. I'll just shut the fuck up. No, but yeah, you can't use that, Gemma, that, oh, no, Dusha's club's coming in. Your actual club, you're going to have to finally have a you know, the Sophie's choice of football.
Except the Sophie's choice will be I barrack for two teams, which is an easy way to get out. Oh my God, Gemma shaking her head.
No, of course not. As soon as the women in red and white run out, that's it. It's done.
Oh.
Do you have any AFLW Melbourne merch?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. From so membership. Will you not burn anymore. That round one?
No.
Of the season?
No. We're not going that far.
Keep it on hand.
But it was really interesting because when I kind of had an inkling that it would happen because I'd been speaking to a few people beforehand. And then when it did get announced, the number of messages I got was like crazy. And I was trying to teach a class at the time. So it was really tricky, but it's amazing. And it's probably the right choice to bring them all in at once.
Yeah.
And not put other teams through 2 years of consecutive expansion as well.
I'm excited. Like, I mean, Essendon were one of the teams that I knew. Well, I guess, like, one, it's still exciting, but, like, I suspected it was on the cards for both Essendon and Hawthorn. But, yeah, to get the announcement that it was all four clubs at once is fucking enormous. And it's exciting because it's, like, a step in the right direction for AFLW. And less exciting and more nerve-wracking is how are they possibly going to fuck this up? Because they will, and that's stressful, but maybe they don't. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year the AFL doesn't fuck this up.
Well, look, the women's comp is starting in December, remember?
Tom, I know. I'm trying not to think about how fucking stupid that is. I'm trying to stay positive.
Look, there are so many things that we could turn negative on, like the press conference, for example.
Yes.
We had a big chat on that day about it, but that press conference ended up being more about men's football than it did about women's, even though it was an announcement about expansion. And then the AFL has published a piece of writing about, here's all your questions answered about next AFLW season and what the expansion looks like. And the answer to almost every single question is, we don't know yet. We'll find out soon.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of questions in the air, but just knowing that in come March, April next year, the Swans are going to be building a women's team is incredibly exciting. Obviously, for Hawthorn fans, Essendon fans, Port Adelaide fans, it's the same feeling. And the two of you, Tom and Sean, you would have gone through that years past. But now it's finally time for everyone else, which is really cool. And also, you know, if I can do more writing for the Swans about how great it is, then I'm jumping on board that too.
Do you have a coach yet, Gemma?
Nothing. There's nothing announced. The only coach that's been announced is Beck Goddard at Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Which was the most foregone conclusion of all foregone conclusions.
Yeah.
Do you imagine if they hadn't, though?
I mean,
imagine if they come in, they don't announce Beck Goddard, and then an hour later, Essendon announced that they were. Just the biggest, like, of course, out of every possible club that could come in and fuck over Hawthorn, it's the Bombers.
Would be,
we love it,
flipping hilarious. But there's that whole question of women coaches and the Nick Del Santo appointment. Like, there's so many things around AFLW right now that are worth talking about, but most of it has to turn negative, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who do you guys have an academy coach that you think they might go with, or
the academy coach is Moore? Jared Crouch. Sorry, I'm reading Brandon Jack's book at the moment, like literally just finished reading it while I was, so I've got all these names in my head. Jared Crouch is the coach of the academy right now.
Would he be someone you would want to see take like that academy further, or is he the person that stays in that academy program to develop the pool of talent and someone else takes over at the senior job? Is that is that a thing? Do you want to see pathways? What is the ideal Swans 2023 scenario look like?
The coach is sitting right here.
Is it Sean Carney?
They know I'm available, right?
Oh, everyone
a formal
does.
Process?
Yeah, you've got to do a Paul Ruse presentation to the board.
Oh, fuck. What is a Paul Ruse presentation?
Haven't you heard about the story that he did the caretaker coach thing and then was pissed off that he still had to do a presentation to the board to actually get the job the following year?
Yeah, I knew about that, but what was, like, did he just half-ass his presentation or was he just bitter?
No, he was just annoyed that he had to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. I would be too if I was a coaching genius.
I think
Jerry, at the time, was Terry Wallace... He basically had one hand on that job, didn't he?
I mean, you're probably right. I don't know that all the ins and outs because I was 12.
Yeah.
All I know is that Paul Ruse had to do a presentation and he was very unhappy about having to do the presentation.
Yeah. Fair enough, because they won heaps of games, didn't they?
Yeah.
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 Surely that presentation is just a clip of him being like, all right, fuckos, this is everything I've done in the last 6 months. This is everything Terry Wallace has done. Oh, it's zero. Give it to me.
I just had a quick look over the... because I didn't see that they'd released what they are calling an explainer for the expansion clubs to the AFLW. And I was like, how did I miss that? Gemma, after just quickly skimming through it, I can see how I missed it because there is literally zero information. You weren't exaggerating when you said, we don't know yet. They literally say, we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
Gil says the season should be starting in December, but we don't have an exact date.
And these are all the questions that could have been asked in the press conference if it hadn't have been turned into a press conference about men's footy.
And it wasn't even... it's already bad, but they were just constantly hounding about one question about like a finals week by who, like, it's round 22, just fucking relax, pretend that there's not gonna be one. Your journalists, they're not just, you're not even gonna break a breaking story even if they do cave because you're in a fucking room full of other journalists.
Well, also to be fair, some of those journalists who are fighting that have not had a problem just making something up in the past.
Yeah.
But also, the thing is, Gil could have just said, hey, that's not what this is about. And he could have avoided all of those questions anyway.
Yeah.
So there was so many better... Anyway.
You're spot on. Like, it's Gil's fault. He's such a dickhead. He should have, like... I think, did Tom Brown ask that second question that derailed
it?
He should
it
have
did.
Just said,
yes.
Tom, this isn't the time for those questions. If you have a question about AFLW, you can ask that. That's just poor leadership. And what do you expect from Gil? Dickhead.
Anyway, back to the Swans.
Yeah.
Positive. Positive vibes
I would
only.
Love to see someone that has been involved in the academy because they're clearly going to be dipping into the academy pathway to get a lot of their talent, their inaugural talent. So having someone that has a relationship with a lot of them already, knows how they play, all that sort of stuff, I think would be really beneficial. But what I'd really like to see from the Swans is developing coaches and particularly women coaches through those pathways as well to then do the takeover. Collingwood is preparing Chloe McMillan to do and things like that. So that's what I want to see from the Swans. I'm not so fussed if it's not a woman inaugural coach like Port Adelaide have said they want. That would be amazing. But just someone who is invested in women's footy, I think, is the big priority.
Yeah.
Someone who's
yeah.
shown that they have a track record, that they've been involved, not just someone who's played a bunch of men's games, so therefore must be a good coach of women.
So not Nick Del Santo, who has not coached at the highest level at all.
I didn't say it.
just putting out there, like he would, if he was an option,
no.
he would be a bad option.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Whereas Tom's, Jared Crouch really... has been at the academy. He's developed those players. He knows who they are, what their skills are. He'd be a good option. Like Nathan Burke at the Western Bulldogs. He is a man who's played a lot of men's footy, but he also was very invested in the growth of the women's game before he became a head coach.
Yep.
Those are the sorts of – Steve Simons is the same. They're the sorts of people who you don't mind getting those jobs. Craig Starcevich, Trent Cooper. It's the ones who are just getting the job because it's convenient for the club is where my issue is.
Yeah.
It's all right. I know that Geelong have a three-year plan, and that three-year plan is that eventually Mel Hickey will be Geelong's coach. That's my theory. That's what I believe.
Kind of in that pathway.
Yeah. It's funny that you started out saying, I know that Geelong have a plan.
Yeah, I know. We're on Geelong and I to call it talking every day. I'm calling them like, do you want either of my feet for Tom Stewart? And they're like, no. And I'm like, do you want my knees for Nina Morrison? They're both there. They're available. Whatever you need. Just chop me up and use me as supplementary parts for our football.
Yeah, Tom, Peter Searle wanted the Cats job, didn't she?
I don't know if that was true or not. I wanted Peter Searle to have the Cats job.
All right. Gemma, do you think that she'll get another crack maybe at one of these four teams?
I think it's up to her at this point. Like, obviously, the systems in place aren't great yet. But I think that she's got some personal stuff she's working through as well to try and find the balance between work and life. And I think that's what the issue comes down to a lot of the time as well, is that a lot of these men are getting the jobs because they either already work in the men's department, so already have part of their salary paid, so it's a full-time role that is partially paid outside of the men's cap, that sort of situation. So it's convenient for the club, makes it easier for them to fit in the men's cap. Or someone coming in only has a 3-4-5 month job and it's not a full-time role, which is what Peter Searle was dealing with. So I think that's where the push and pull comes, is that how do you get the full-time role? Oh, you have to be a dude that already works at the club. And that's what the issue is in terms of finding someone who is invested in the women's pathway. Because unless the club is willing to also invest that way and provide them a full-time role that can give them that work-life balance, you're not getting the right person into that job unless they're happy to only work 6 months of the year. And I think that's the issue there.
Is that what happened with Beck Goddard when she was at Adelaide? Was it just like a work-life sort of balance thing where she just couldn't do it anymore?
From what I understand, and this could be speculation, from what I understand, she wanted a full-time role. They weren't forthcoming with that.
Yeah.
So she left. And Hawthorn have obviously suggested that they're able to provide that full-time position once they do have a side. So she's stuck fat there.
Yeah, cool. That's cool. Do we know anything yet about how these teams are going to be able to build their lists? Draft pick wise, anything like that? Do we know anything, or have the AFL just not come up with a plan yet?
All we know is that they can't start building a list until after this season has finished. So they'll develop those rules and how the draft will lay out throughout this season, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then everything will kind of the shoe will drop.
Yeah. Because what did we get last time? I'm trying to recall when Brisbane players were poached.
Up to four players from a club could be taken for nothing.
Yeah. I feel like with Brisbane it was like eight, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Wasn't it like eight players with Brisbane?
Four to one club, eight as a whole, I think.
Yeah, so it might have been like four to North Melbourne, four to Richmond or the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs were already there, but not Richmond and St Kilda and West Coast.
North Melbourne,
And of course, Gold Coast came in with you guys too. So they went hard because
they got eight from Brisbane.
Yeah.
But I think there's a limit. Like, I think it's four players and then there's some sort of compensation after that. But I may be wrong about that. They may be changing that because there was a lot of criticism last time as well.
I've just pulled up the AFLW explainer. This will probably answer your question, Sean.
Cool.
Who's going to play for my team? That's the question.
Right.
We don't know yet. The season's still playing out until the new teams can join. Adding players from current sides is a no-no. The AFL will confirm list build rules at a later date. But in seasons past, current clubs can lose a certain number of players before compensation kicks in. Mm. So I'll just quickly... Obviously, that's a lot to digest. Who's going to play for my team? No fucking idea.
I love... Surely just on this, we're talking about the AFL sort of planning, but surely now that the women's comp is going to expand to a full 18-team, every side is now represented, surely now is where the push for professional, full pay, full staff, full cap, surely that push starts... Now, and the excuse the AFL giving, we still can't afford it, then why'd you expand it? If you're able to expand it to 18 clubs because you fucking do, you've got to put your money where your mouth is now. Start paying these women, start paying these pathways, start investing in these caps so that you don't have the Peter Searle problems or clubs, players even having to choose between sports, especially if you're moving the game to summer so that basketballers can't dual sport or cricketers can't dual sport. You wanna swing your dick around, Gil? Put some money in your dick as well.
couldn't have said it better myself, Tom. But unfortunately, there is a kind of alarming statement on the AFLW explainer again.
Okay.
This is in the how many players in a squad thing question, which isn't super relevant to what you just said, but there is a thing that makes me think that they're still not going to be treated as professional athletes or full-time athletes, at least, because it says... Currently, each team are 30 players each, with additional players added to replace those who are inactive. Okay. Yeah. In brackets. Yep. Season-long injuries, pregnancy, work commitments. Work commitments.
To be fair, though, there are players like... and Gemma will... I will not know the person's name, but I'll start telling the story, and Gemma will. That player who is a fiery for Freo...
Well, she played Evangeline Gooch. She now is a West Coast player. But thinking like Rhianna Metcalf, Jess Allen, they're both in the ADF. Both are going to be inactive next season because of work. Jasmine Hewitt missed the last season because of work commitments. We saw Jenna McCormick and Ellie Brush both retire to go and play soccer, ground ball football. Mm-hmm. So they are losing players. But I think the big thing is that they're so desperate for AFL or Aussie rules to be a year-round sport, which has seen the women's game be moved earlier to have clear air or whatever that is.
To clash with equally big sports. Yeah,
Most other women's leagues as well. This is the thing. They want to move it that way. So if you're going to do that and make that thing so that you can make more money and be the year-round sport, it does have to reflect on what the players are paid and the fact that they should be able to spend... You know, their summer playing sport and then actually take a holiday and take time off after that rather than go straight back into the work cycle.
Yeah.
Because also, if with the way it is set up right now, they're not moving the state league, affiliate league stuff. So they will literally play AFLW from December to March or April.
March.
They'll get like a month off maybe max, and then the VFL, the Sandful equivalent, all those other equivalents will kick off.
That's so stupid.
You've got to remember as well. It still blows my mind. Sorry, Jim. It still blows my mind.
No, well, you've got to remember as well that we're only a year into the VFLW having been moved to be aligned with the AFLW so that there is a league to drop down to. That's all gone now, a year later.
Yeah.
That's poor.
Especially because, like, just from basic, like, knowledge of how the VFL, like, the VFLM basically works, which is players recovering from, like, long-term injuries or, like, star players that maybe just need a week off from the pressures of the highest league or, yeah, like, they've come back after, like, missing half a season. They need to play in a lower league before they're ready to go higher. So if you're then just having the AFLW run separately to the VFLW, that entirely removes that as a very useful resource. It's stupid.
Well, the AFLW didn't have that until this year, and now it's gone away straight away anyway. And you can't move the state league because of access to grounds.
Which is also going to be a problem for the major league because cricket. There is no way on this earth that the Gabba will let any football touch that cricket pitch.
No, yeah, and Adelaide Oval will be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Docklands, probably the same. GMHBA is being revamped, so I don't think that'll be available this season.
It will be. It'll just be that they won't be able to sit in one end of the stand.
Whatever, Tom. You've been revamping that for your entire life.
Hey, this is the last one. Once we finish this, our capacity will be the same as the Adelaide Oval.
That's what they said last time.
So Gil can't say we can't host finals.
Oh, I'm all for men's finals being hosted at Cardinia Park.
Me too. Well, especially for the Swans. You should host your home games.
That's what I'm
saying. Your home final should be a GMHBA.
I want our round one final to be there.
Absolutely.
It won't happen, but you can dream.
Battle of the Bridge in Geelong. Fuck.
The Swans will smash it.
Yeah, the bridge is the Westgate Bridge.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, how many memberships are you buying now?
Probably three.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Ooh, so, okay, who'd you drop? Yeah.
Take one
Gold Coast. Gold Coast or Freo?
Gold Coast.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Dead to me. No, they're not dead to me. I just don't make very much money, so I can't afford it.
That is fair enough. I want to know, and I feel like the Essendon AFLW team's home games will be at Tullamarine or something like that, but if they're playing footy at Windy Hill again, fucking hell.
I should. That would be awesome.
I'll move in.
Groundskeeper Joel.
Oh, yes.
Because that's my Peyton the Lions. Well, do we pay him? No, he just does it for free. He's working completely for free just so he can be here.
You just hear me from the distance. I do it for the vibes. It's great out here. fucking hell. Windy Hill was close to where I grew up. I went to high school near there. Love the vibe of it. Got a couple of local places that I could absolutely go after the game. And it's going to be a big summer.
Yeah.
Next summer.
Well, maybe they'll split it, kind of like Collingwood did until Victoria Park was able to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool. It would honestly probably make sense because Windy Hill is still an oval.
What's the, capacity like?
I don't imagine it's big.
I don't imagine it would be any bigger than RSA Park or whatever, at RSCA Park, which is the Saints' home ground.
Which also was under construction this year, so half of it was blocked off anyway.
Oh, it's 10,000.
Oh,
that's not too bad.
No reason why they couldn't.
And then look to expand it, you know, with all the injection of cash from the AFL finally paying everyone full wages.
VU Witten Oval is also 10,000, and apparently so is Victoria Park.
Joel, how windy is Windy Hill?
Is it
standard football ground wind, or is it like something pretty special?
Is
something,
it Casey Fields? Dare
I say, Casey Fields. Magic.
The last time I went, I don't remember the wind being particularly hurricane-esque. But
is it like every kick should just be a barrel?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. A belief will get you the length of the field.
That's, look, that to be fair, that's the same at every stadium.
Yeah.
No, but not with that wind tunnel. God.
But yeah, it's very, very exciting. I cannot wait to watch an Essendon AFLW game.
Joel, here's a big question for you.
Mm.
With one more season to go before you get to get your team in, who are you going with next season?
It's a tough one.
Are you going to follow Taylor?
Well, the thing is, if they weren't such a pack of slimy dogs and treated their AFLW team with respect, the Hosking sisters' twin magic would probably get me to Richmond. But I just don't think I can do it knowing that they don't support their own. But then I am conflicted because I'm like, Richmond aren't supporting them. Maybe I can help balance that out. Like, Dimmer's hatred for the existence of this club versus my love. Gemma's raising her hand. What's up, Gemma?
But aren't you a curse? Don't you destroy every team you follow? So Richmond should...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm. Oh, mate. Mate.
You're a big curse.
Mate, what you need to do is you need to get to Richmond and barrack for Richmond, become a Richmond member for the women's side. They have the worst season ever. The Husky sisters at the end of the year are like, man, that was shit. If only we could play for another team that also had a similar sash on its jumper that wasn't dog shit. And then get them.
The problem is, Tom, does the curse carry on to Essendon?
No, I don't think it does.
Gemma, you might know this. Do we know who the Hoskins sisters barracked for growing up?
Richmond.
Yeah.
Fuck.
They're playing for their dream club. Yeah.
Yeah, nah, that's the end of that. Good try, Tom.
Yeah.
I was trying.
Because, Jess and Sarah and Taylor all kind of ended up where they wanted to be this season.
Well, can I just say, on Melbourne's list build, I did get a message from someone at Melbourne saying they have to win a premiership before I burn them for the Swans. So, hopefully, here's the year.
Was that a player
juicy.
Or was that a...
Not a player. Someone at the club, though.
Oh. A little less
okay,
juicy,
no, I've
still
just
juicy.
Understood. I've just understood what you've said. So I took that as initially someone has messaged you and been like, Melbourne have to win a premiership this year, or I, the person messaging you, are going to leave Melbourne for Sydney. But what I actually mean is they've got to win a premiership for you, Gemma, before you jump to the
Swans. Yeah, no, I was with Tom. I thought it was a juicy player scandal.
No,
I can't believe Daisy Pierce is going to Sydney.
Gemma, I followed 100%. I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. These boys were dreaming too big.
Yeah.
Too big and too chaotic.
Always. Yeah.
So Melbourne's going to win the flag is what I'm telling you.
That's huge. We'll I don't know if I want to jump on the team that is going to win the flag, though. Well, I mean, also, if I do, then they won't.
You're not allowed to follow Melbourne this year.
I'm banned from following Melbourne.
Joel, have you considered just taking a year off a team and just barracking for players?
Buy a membership to every club just to see how it is.
Yeah, why not?
You wouldn't be the only one.
No, what if Joel? Okay, yes, we want to get the women's footy season moved back to a time slot that fits with the VFL season that is easier, that is not part, like, obviously the AFL's decision is purely global domination based and not actually what's good for the game. So, we're going to fix it. Dusha buys a membership for every single AFLW side.
Yep.
Cursing every single AFLW side. The season is a disaster. No one wins a premiership and Gil goes, fuck, I better move it back to the normal time frame and invest in it fully so that never happens again.
It's too risky, Tom. Too risky.
Too risky?
What if, Tom, I simply...
He buys every membership but two.
Tom, what if I email Gil and I say, Gil, you know who I am. You know that me supporting any team is bad for them. I'm willing to drop money on every membership unless you move the season back. And then he calls my bluff and then I do it. And then his very big suits are starting to feel tighter and tighter as the season goes on.
Just threaten to buy an AFL house membership.
I'm going to buy a membership to the AFL CEOs, Gil. Fucking watch me.
And then by the end of the season, he'll have lost his job and I'll be like, told you. Yeah. I never bluff.
And then Sean and I are put in charge.
Oh, fucking hell. Every game at Casey Fields.
Magic time.
Hey,
AFLM and AFLW. Just every except, fucking game.
Except for the grand final, which is always played at GMHBA.
Casey Fields is far, but it's not that bad.
Oh, we love it.
Magic
it's our favorite ground.
Yeah, I love it. I want every game there. I want it to be a 24-hour ground. Just non-stop football. Yeah.
All right. Well, any final thoughts on this expansion of the AFLW before we move into just a quick recap of round 22 of the AFLM?
My brother's pretty stoked just from a Port Adelaide perspective. He was talking about my little nephew, and he's like, he's going to have two teams forever when he's at footy enjoying age. And I was like, bold of you to assume I will not corrupt that boy to barrack for Geelong.
You don't have the power to do that, Tom.
Well, it's scary because the uncle pull usually pays off.
Really?
Yeah. I know a lot of people that barrack for the same team as their uncle.
Because it's not just uncle. He's got grandparents. He's in the town.
No.
It's going to be dangerous.
Tom, we've met your brother. He's too strong for this to work.
You've also met his fiancée.
Also, he's a runner. He'll just pick up his boy and run away.
All right. Well, it's all very fucking exciting. And yes.
Before I've just realized something.
What?
This is momentous.
What?
This is a roast quartet.
Oh,
four roasts, 1 week, baby.
Fucking hell.
Tom, when you interrupted me segueing into round 22 of the AFLM, I, you know, naturally assumed that you had something else to say about AFLW. Not that you were interrupting the thing I was already talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel good?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's
I'll do it again.
Good on you, Tom.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
So as Tom just said, we're going to look at round 22 of the AFLM season. Things are heating up, and they're heating up in a big way where all four of our teams have won a roast quartet.
First time in history.
It's never been done before. Quadrilogy of roasts.
Oh, that's even better.
Quadrilogy. Actually, it's almost a saga.
If we all back it up next week with another win, that's 8 roasts in a row. That's a roast big, saga.
Holy that's a big shit. Time saga.
I'd have thought Joel would be traumatized by the word saga.
I'm traumatized by a lot. Gemma, I'm traumatized by a lot of things.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, things like that, they don't even register anymore.
Shake it off. Shake it off, mate.
If Joel was genuinely traumatized by the things that the Essendon Football Club have put him through, he would not be able to watch football anymore.
Yeah. It kind of goes full circle where, just the existence of the Essendon Football Team, if I was traumatized by anything, I just wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be in the show. People would be like, how good's footy? I'll be like, don't talk to me about that cursed game.
Joel, to be honest, their continued existence is a miracle.
So is my continued existence.
Yeah, it's all great.
What's going to be the real test of Joel's life and bodily function is when you have two Essendons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
365 Essendon all year round.
Two Essendons is, it's basically the chaos theory.
Whereas two Swans is lawful good.
Yeah. Two Swans is lawful good. It'll probably actually just somehow the existence of two Swans teams will just cause Papley to pull his head in a bit. Where two Essendons will probably, I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's a good way to live, scared but excited.
Yeah, well, that's how I live all through the footy season. And this week is no different. So, Friday night, I was on the yellow and black train solely because I thought that was my only road to finals. Halfway through the game, I realized it wasn't my only road to finals, and I immediately switched to the team that I much preferred barracking for, GWS.
Big, big sound.
Fucking the orange tsunami was back in a big way. GWS look scary as hell, and round 22 of a 23-round season is a great time to look your scariest.
Yeah, Gemma's going to have to play them.
I was waiting for someone to say that.
Yeah, I was worried for, like, just Sydney... Like, you know, being in the finals mix because they terrify me.
Yeah.
The only good thing is that there is I don't think there's much of a mathematical chance of having both the Giants and Sydney progress deep because they'll have to face off against one another, which is good.
Well, yeah, they don't have to. There could be a Carlton miracle.
There's not going to be a Carlton miracle.
There could be a Carlton miracle.
Isn't the Carlton miracle they have to win? Both Collingwood and Carlton would need to win by, like, the highest score of all time ever each. Like, would both have to break a record?
Yeah. I mean, the miracle of Carlton is that they still exist, to be honest.
Jesus, we'll get to that. Fuck. Yeah.
But
if we have to.
Yeah, Giants.
Yeah,
just,
Giants. Fucking hell. Christ.
Like, they won by 39 points, and in that 39-point victory, just did the bare minimum in the last quarter.
Richmond sucks shit.
Also, Isaac Cumming was flipping amazing.
So was Taranto.
Yeah,
so
kicked
Taylor,
four goals.
Taylor and Cumming, that back line around those two is
huge.
Deadly.
You know who, unbelievably, is still good? Shane Mumford.
I love watching him play. It's like a miracle. It's like watching Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. In his one premiership player.
Yeah.
The fact that, I love that they're interviewing after the game, and they're like, you have to take 2 weeks off, and then you play two games and you have a week off. Is that a strategy? And he literally said, well, I feel like I'm 100 years old, so yes.
They have to strap him to a table and electrocute him for a bit to charge him up.
Right. And then the other big news for the Giants was Josh Kelly turned his back on the $1 million, the war chests, and said, I'm going to stay a Giant forever, and then rewarded that by just being ridiculously good again.
32 disposals, yeah. 11 tackles.
8-year contract.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, he's cooked.
That's
Well, it's so's their list.
They're fucking smoky for the flag, aren't they?
No, I don't think so.
No. They're not going to click that much, I don't think. They're a big chance to get... Like, I reckon...
If they were playing anyone but Sydney, I'd wager them going a bit further. But I think they'll run into a big...
Well, it's either Sydney or perhaps Brisbane. So shut your mouth, Tom. Or maybe the Bulldogs.
Yeah, if they do...
Because they're all spicy contests. I hate the Giants. They beat us in a final once. Yeah. Sydney hate them because, you know, rivalry. Bulldogs definitely hate them. They're just dogs. Like,
could you imagine actually, you know what I want more than the Sydney one? I want a GWS Bulldogs elimination final.
Go Giants.
Imagine the spice on that.
Yeah,
for that to happen, though, Giants have to lose this
to
week.
To Carlton. To Eddie Betts.
I mean, it is the miracle of the retirement games, and like, maybe they want to give Teague
Mark
Murphy's last game and 300th game.
Yeah. His last game is 300th game. Big one for the club.
If the game had have ended about halfway through the second quarter, rip a result for them.
Do you think that... We'll get to that in a second, but I wonder if they looked at the clock wrong and they confused the second quarter for the last quarter.
Probably. Mm. They were thinking about finals.
Just quickly, Giants, big sound, big win, fuck Richmond.
Can we talk about the next game, which has the best thing in football right now, which is the Alistair Clarkson fuck you Jeff Kennett tour?
Oh, it's great. You love it.
So, like, just when they announced that the transition was happening, Hawthorn were probably going to be getting either the first or second round draft pick.
Yeah.
And since that time, Clarkson's gone, get fucked, you're going to get picked nine.
I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
Western Bulldogs looked like shit against Hawthorn, which is crazy. I mean, we knew that with the loss of Bruce that they were going to probably struggle in the same way that Sean, you highlighted this last week. The same toll that Eric Hipwood took on Brisbane immediately. Just like fucked their structure. But
their midfield has dropped off too.
Yeah. Essendon
killed
them.
It's probably a bigger issue. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know what's going on there.
I think you'll find that Sydney killed them.
Sydney killed them.
That could be it.
Rolled them tired.
Disgusted with myself because I had tipped Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And then shortly before the game started, Thomas Reid here messaged us and said O'Meara's out, and I panicked. I wasn't sure if Hawthorn could do it without O'Meara, and I changed my tip. Shut up, Tom. It's on you. If I hadn't seen that, I would have not remembered about the game.
Hey.
I would have tipped Hawthorn. Fuck you.
You would have seen the teams. You would have seen O'Meara out. You still would have panicked.
No,
you
I wouldn't
have conviction, Sean. I shouldn't sway you.
No.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I know. You are a big one.
Yeah, one of the biggest.
The best thing about O'Meara
biggest
being
the
out,
best.
Though, was it happened... was it because it happened, like... Obviously, Hawthorn knew he wasn't going to play, but the teams hadn't been announced yet. And they were interviewing Tom Mitchell before the game, and he was saying, you know, it's going to be guys like me and Jai?
Newcomb
are going to have to step up in the absence of Warps and O'Meara. And they're sort of going along, and then Dermot Brody goes, oh, I've just looked at my team sheet here, and it says O'Meara's named in the centre review, and he's going, yeah, people are looking at me on the bench. I think I'm in trouble. Selling out trade secrets, Tommy.
It's great. mentioned him briefly, and it was already heavily rumoured, but it is now confirmed. Eddie Betts has made an announcement that he is retiring at the end of this week. Well, the end of this season.
Yeah. I did see an interesting tweet like during the Western Derby, saying that is Mundy one of the most universally liked male football, like AFLM players.
I randomly saw a tweet that I put out.
Yeah, it was you. Man, I was literally trying to rack my brains as to who tweeted it. I was like, was it from the AFL? Was it Narrowly Meadows? Oh, it was somebody. Somebody that I follow on Twitter.
I'll just say it,
Gemma,
and see what happens.
Gemma, you said Ismundi, and I think someone responded to you and said Eddie Betts would be the other one, the universally loved opposition players.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can't think of who else comes close to those two, to be fair.
Did you see the footage of Mundy being a dog to Liam Ryan there?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Is this new for everyone?
No, was it good, though?
I would have done that. That's a big Sean Carney move.
Pretty funny. It wasn't that big much of a dog move. Well, no, it was, but it wasn't like... There was no malice to it. It was just like an annoying schoolyard dog move. After a tackling contest... Liam Ryan was on the ground and Mundy put his hand up to help him up and Liam Ryan reached up to grab his hand and Mundy just pulled his hand away and walked off.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it was great.
He fresh aired him.
That's 353 games of experience right there.
Western Bulldogs should be fucking terrified. Because there's also a chance now that they finish fifth and have to play Essendon first week of the finals, which, look, whatever you think of Essendon, that's fine. But to play a team in an elimination final after you've been top of the ladder or near it pretty much the whole season.
Yeah.
And then to play a team that defeated you 3 weeks earlier, you'd be shitting yourself.
I love it.
Also, to be the team that finally loses to Essendon in a final.
Oh, the pressure.
The history.
I don't want that. Keep away from me.
Well, the revenge for the year 2000 if Essendon beat Western Bulldogs to break their finals curse.
Yeah, I guess. Or revenge for the year 2001 against Brisbane.
That's
a lot of revenge.
Revenge for 2017 revenge. Against Sydney.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's another thing. Like, when we get to... Like, the prelims, not prelims, sorry, the qualifying finals are kind of going to be like, oh yeah, the top four teams this year, pretty hectic. Like, that'll be interesting. But the elimination finals, they're going to be fucked.
Well, it's crazy, because it seemed like 3 weeks ago, no matter how you shook it out, most of the, like, qualifying finals were, like, set in concrete. And now it's like, nah, they're, who knows?
Because of last week.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hope nothing wild happens this weekend and the teams that are in the eight are now the teams that make the finals because West Coast don't deserve to be there. Richmond, by some miracle, can probably still maybe sneak in, but they won't and they don't deserve it. I think that's it, yeah? No one else can... Oh, Freo could get in still.
Freo's percentage just hurts them so much.
West Coast...
No, but they're on equal games as Essendon.
Yeah, West Coast and Freo can make the eight. Richmond can't unless
Essendon can if like six different things happen and it won't happen. So
Richmond would need West Coast, Fremantle, and Essendon to all lose, but all to get and then they would need Essendon to get beaten by like 100 points.
Oh, no chance.
Yeah.
Also, they're without Cochin and Martin for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Which will be 1 week, so it probably won't hurt them that much.
Yeah.
And maybe Dale Prestia because he's a big idiot.
No, nah, he's been cleared.
How?
Well, I don't know.
It's Tom.
AFL, money, footballer.
Richmond.
Yeah,
Richmond's the big one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, speaking of you, Geelong.
Yeah, so I had a roller coaster of a time. I was like reading the teams. Jeremy Cameron's back. Lachie Henderson's back. My boy Mark O'Connor was coming back. Atkins is about a week away. Myers is about a week away. This is all really good. Oh, Tui's injury is not great. That's okay. All right, doing fine. And then my heart was ripped out of my chest and shit on because Tom Stewart is now done for the season after doing a Lins-Frank foot injury in training. So if there were two, there are probably two players at Geelong that are crucial to our performances. They are both named Tom. We do not have a replacement for either of them, really. Mm-hmm.
Tom Hawkins, you could probably bounce back from, because you've got, like, you've Jeremy Cameron and Fuckhead. What's his name?
Gary Rowan.
Yeah, there we go. You're all new from Fuckhead.
I just think Hawkins is... Hawkins is just structurally very important to the how those two are able to benefit in that forward line, I think.
It means
our ruckman would have to play in the ruck in the forward line as well. There's all sorts of stuff. Hawkins barely goes off.
Tom, this is going to hurt, but I'm confident in it. I think that you could win a premiership without Tom Hawkins.
Possibly.
Tom.
It's really hard to do it without Tom Stewart.
On top of what Joel said, this is going to hurt. I don't think you could.
I'm with you, Sean. I think if we lost both Tom Stewart and Tom Hawkins...
No, not both. I'm just saying if you had to lose one, you would prefer to lose Hawkins.
Yeah. But Tom, I should clarify. I would feel that way even if they were in the
full
team.
Full strength team, yeah.
Yeah, you're a piece of shit and a dog.
I believe in the integrity of a window, okay?
Yeah.
This hurt and...
Being 32 points down and not scoring for a bit also hurt.
That also was super weird. Mm-hmm. I think the team was maybe rattled losing him and just took a while to settle in. I think the issue was is that we ended up winning and it was good and we've won and we've locked in top four. That's great. I think the issue is that you lose Tom Stewart and it's like, okay, that sucks because of his intercept marking and he's quite creative off half back. But you've got a player like Zach Tui, who is also quite creative off halfback, and we lost him as well. And then Duncan, who is our other good ball user, is quite good. So really, we're relying on like Isaac Smith and O'Connor. And then because you're relying on O'Connor down there, I mean, Jack Steele went ballistic. It just, the structure is going to take a bit to settle. So I hope we can settle on how we play without him going forward. Henry has had... We'd be in more trouble if Jack Henry hadn't have had the year he's had so far, I think. It does mean that Blitzhouse plays at fullback, thank fucking Christ. So we're not playing him in the ruck or on the wing. We'll just have to adjust a bit. It's going to be hard to replace him. You probably can't. But hey, Fletcher Roberts won a premiership medal coming in at last second for the Bulldogs. So maybe someone like Zach Guthrie, Tommy Atkins, O'Connor. It's bad. It's not good, but we won and we're in the position where we can push and we can do this. And we get a few more players back. Hopefully, Duncan and Tui by either first or second week of the finals. And then it's just grit your teeth and fuck.
Yeah, that was. Congratulations on the win. St Kilda showed a lot of heart. But yeah, unfortunately, Geelong were just too good in the end. But at the same time, I thought we were going to, Sean, Gemma, I thought we were going to lose both Reed brothers in one foul swoop. Because whilst this was happening, whilst your team at the Geelong Football Club were shitting their pants against St Kilda, Port Adelaide were playing Carlton at the same time. And Carlton was starting to, I wouldn't say run away with it, but definitely starting to get on top. I think it was... like 24 points up or something approaching halftime.
Yeah. I was excited. And
yeah. Port Adelaide, were like struggling to score, inaccurate.
Yep. a Port loss would have been very good for me. Same as a Geelong loss. I was barracking against the Reeds.
Yeah, it's rude.
Not rude. You'd have done the same.
I wouldn't have.
You should have, though.
Yeah.
There's friendships more than footy, Sean.
Oh, Tom. You're such a simpleton. That's why you haven't won a flag since 2011, mate, with that fucking attitude. How can you have Geelong arrogance and Geelong stupidity all in the one package?
Hey, so wait, out of the four of us, my team has won a flag most recently in the men's game.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
2012?
2012.
Yeah.
But, 2021 over here. So that's all that matters.
I mean, that's the most important one, isn't it?
That is true.
Yeah. It's been a while. 21 years. I remember it just. I was 9.
Didn't appreciate it, did you, mate?
No, I didn't. I thought we were going to keep winning forever.
I've been there. I've been there. 3 times.
Can I say I was old enough to appreciate all of mine and I didn't take them
Tom, this is what we're talking about when we say arrogance, mate. There's no need to be bragging, all right? Fuck it, Al.
Do you know what it'd fix? If you're like, you know, a Port supporter and you were feeling real depressed because your team was getting smashed, you know, around the ball by Carlton, they're 24 points up, half through the second quarter. What I would want at that point is I would want my team to kick 19 goals straight. In fact, the next 19 goals without Carlton kicking a goal.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they did.
Yeah. It was one of the most fucked displays of football because not only did Carlton just die for Mark Murphy's 300th game, they were just like, you know what? We've had enough football for today. Let's just stop playing. But, like, Port were kicking goals from everywhere. Like, it was very reminiscent and makes sense to when Western Bulldogs kicked 21 goals in a row against Essendon, which was just like nothing could stop them. But having a team show up may have helped, but yeah.
Well, Aaliyah also played out of his skin.
Yeah.
Pick up of the year.
Tom Hickey.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Oh, I reckon
Hickey's been awesome.
If
Essendon
we'll
win,
see what happens
if
for
Essendon
final.
Win
Do you see
one
his
final,
pickup, Sean?
If he's, Essendon win he's one awesome. Final, Nick Hind is the pickup of the year.
Also, I think Aaliyah should be in the All-Australian team.
That full back line, it's so tight because Stephen May is an obvious one.
Mm.
Yeah, but Sam Taylor's got to be thought about.
It's the AFL.
Tom
they'll
Stewart.
Pick Aaliyah and put him in the pocket.
Forward pocket.
Yeah, they'll play him. They'll play him as a ruck on the bench.
Yeah, he's tall. He's ruck on the bench.
Not a terrible ruck, to be honest.
Even if they have him on the bench, that's all right.
Rock.
I'd prefer the All-Australian team's bench to be one ruck, one forward, one mid, one back. But that,
like a bench
that won't.
Sort
It'll
of
be
makes
midfielders.
Sense.
Yeah. Yes, Port Adelaide. Yeah, Carlton's fucked. I heard something today that frightened me about a potential coach for Carlton next year if
Michael
David Voss. Teague is to lose his job. Vossie's name was mentioned, but Vossie as a senior assistant to Ross Lyon.
Oh, my God.
No, but isn't Ross Lyon meant to be taking the Collingwood job?
I think Lyon's more likely to be Carlton than Collingwood, I would think.
I thought, yeah, Lyon and Brad Scott were the two in the running for Collingwood, weren't they? Isn't that the word on the street?
You're hearing Don Pike for Collingwood too.
Don't take Don Pike.
Yep. But Vossie and Ross Lyon, come on. Vossie, don't do that.
Also,
got a good.
I'd rather you stay with Ken Hinckley, for fuck's sake. And that makes me sick to my core.
I'm sorry, Sean, but the idea of Voss and Ross. Oh, that's a little bit exciting. That's a little bit
bad.
Good.
That is, but also Ross Lyon sucks shit and we don't like him.
Well, it's true. He's a piece of shit.
Old mate garlic bread.
Yeah.
Fucking no, garlic bread's good. Garlic breath, I should say.
Yeah.
Old mate garlic breath. If he goes to Collingwood, just when I thought I couldn't hate a football club more, is like it'll get dangerous where I won't be able to look at Collingwood games at all because I'll just melt or catch fire.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm excited for? I'm excited to correct the very ultra defensive style that Buckley was playing earlier in the year.
Yeah.
They bring in Ross Lyons and he goes even further.
Yeah.
They start scoring 3 goals a game.
Yeah. I do hope Collingwood pick someone that I hate.
Yeah. Well, Ross Lyon would be at the top of that list, Sean, so...
Big time.
Anyway, Port Adelaide, that was fucked. Congratulations to all Port Adelaide supporters on that huge win. And it sucks that is going to be Eddie Betts' last game at Adelaide Oval. Very similar to the Mark Murphy situation. I really, really, really wish Carlton had turned it on for, like, 2 valuable members of the Carlton Football Club, but Eddie Betts in particular. And no disrespect to Mark Murphy. He's played 300 games, that's fucked. But Eddie Betts is, like, bigger than one team. Like,
it's true. Wild to think that the win that Carlton are going to have from this season is the Coleman medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
Tom Hawkins could kick 8.
Shut up, Tom. He shouldn't be playing.
He's just got to be Tex.
Yeah, I agree.
No, he should be. No, he should
be. He shouldn't be.
No, he should.
If Zane Cordy got suspended.
Well, he didn't.
Zane Cordy. Yes, he did.
He got fined.
Oh, didn't he? I thought he got suspended.
No, he got fined.
All right. Enough about Geelong. What's the next game?
About Geelong. Well, Port Adelaide and Carlton's the next game after Geelong, so we'll go to the one after that.
Mm.
Sean.
Oh. Was there a murder in Queensland, Sean?
No. Sorry. First of all, Sean, I'd just like to say my condolences. I know how frustrating this game must have been for you.
Thank you so much for recognizing that. Really disappointing fourth quarter. To kick 4 goals to their 2 after kicking 7 and 7 in the previous two quarters. Your heart breaks.
Yeah.
As a supporter, especially one when you're watching your team play Collingwood, you dream of a 100-point win.
Yeah.
So to come away with only an 85-point win, it's just really disappointing.
Yeah,
only it's a 85.
Really, a really
only 85. And I hope we can...
result.
Pretty flat, but... Yeah.
Fuck you.
Tom, you were talking after the game about how wild it is that Brisbane went from defeating them by 1 point after the siren earlier in the year to nearly beating them by 100 points in the space of a season.
Mm.
Very funny. Very funny stuff. If you're going to beat Collingwood twice in a year, you want it to be after the siren and then by 100 points. Couldn't really ask for much more. It's a good little tune-up. Brisbane have seemed to have corrected some of the issues, although in the past 2 weeks we've played Collingwood, who were shit, and Freo, who were very off.
They're a mixed
bag. They're a mixed bag, and they were not on when we played them. Part of that was because how we played, but yeah. The pressure is back. All the good stuff's back. The forward half stuff is all going well. When the midfield intensity's on, it's all good. Darcy Gardner's back in, and it's probably the worst game I've ever seen him play. But you can give him one when he's been off for about 10 weeks.
When your team wins,
he runs into some form. Yeah.
When you win by 85 points, it's okay to have an off game.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that's happened in the last 2 weeks is Kadeen Coleman playing on the halfback flank, because he's just, it seems to have fixed a lot of things. I think it's just his speed, because as we've said all year, Brisbane's backline's quite slow. So to have him down there, and he seems, they had James Madden for a while, but he wasn't really using his speed. He was playing more of a lockdown role. Coleman's great overhead. He's taking marks. He's going for a bit of a run. I'm loving his work. The forward line's going well. I'm loving, Joey had like a typical Joey game where he did some incredible stuff. Some stuff was all right, and then just some ridiculous bullshit.
Don't pass the ball back, Joey. Don't
That was crazy.
Have a shot, son.
He's
lucky Neil missed that
player.
Shot, didn't he?
Yeah,
imagine if we if we missed top four by like the tiniest little bit of percent. Joey gave that one up. Lachie Neal missed a real sitter in the last quarter. All these little sliding doors moments. But Charlie Cameron kicked 6.
Yep. Equal highest that he's ever kicked.
Yeah, which is cool. Wasn't his best game of the year, though, interestingly. Like, I've seen him kick 2 goals this year and play a better game. He was good, though. It's good for the confidence. Brisbane's forward line is really multifaceted at the moment. It has been for most of the year, but they seem to have fixed up the Eric Hipwood issue. And Dan McStay's had a really good patch of games now. And he used to be such a liability for set shots, but I just have complete trust in him now. I love what they're doing. And I'll say one more thing about my little mate, Dan Zorko. His form line since remember a few weeks back when I offered him forgiveness?
Yeah.
Yep.
I forgave him for his sins.
Yeah, because you understood.
Because I understand him now. I looked in his eyes and I said, I see that angry man and I am you.
Mm-hmm.
We are one, Dane, little magician. His form line since then has been incredible. So if the club want to reach out and thank me personally, I'm open to hearing that.
Also, Collingwood fans were not happy with him.
Oh, why?
Why do people hate Tom Papley? Same thing.
He's been all right in the last couple of weeks.
No,
he's
but
been less,
I visibly noticed Collingwood fans on Twitter getting very angry at Dane Zorko, which is
very
funny.
They'd be angry at everybody. Like, fuck them. Honestly, I don't feel bad for them at all.
Yeah.
Most other clubs, I feel sorry for supporters, but Collingwood, it's like, shut up. You fucking made your bed piled with shit and systemic bullshit, and now you can lay in it, dogs. Fuck that club, honestly. whoever wins the prize of coaching them, fucking get ready for a war next year, dogs. Go Brisbane, really happy. Footy's really good. It's good when your team, all the talkback radio today is, Brisbane are a red hot chance at the flag again. Whereas like for the last 2 weeks, everyone's just been like, nah, it's over. Brisbane's dead.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good to be alive.
Sean, do you know why it's good to be alive and why Brisbane are good?
Yep.
Watch the post-match interview. I think they were talking to Dan McStay.
Oh, how much of a good boy is Dan McStay?
Dan McStay is the best boy. And they asked him about, you know, Cockatoo kicked 2 goals. And he seemed genuinely so happy that Nakia Cockatoo is playing footy again. And I love it. I love seeing it. Yeah. I love hearing it. It's good. It's good for footy.
I love Daniel McStay with all my heart. And Tom, you know I've backed him in forever. There's been a lot of Brisbane supporters who think he's shit, and I have for a very long time.
Social media, you've never met.
I've fought forts. I've fought battles and fights with these dickheads.
Yeah, and forts.
Hopefully now they can see he's so critically important, and he's a great player, and more important, he's a great person. I love him.
Next game?
Yeah.
Gemma.
Yes.
You got a little bit of a fourth quarter surprise scare, I guess, when Sydney took on North Melbourne. And in a prediction that I made last week, I said, Sydney will win this, but North Melbourne will play one half of incredible football. And they did. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough to get them over the line. Or fortunately, depending on who you wanted it to win. huge result. And yeah, when North were only a goal down in the last quarter, I was like, Jesus, like, there are a big, big, big chance here. But no, Sydney turned full-blown professional mode, just got it done. They were just like, settle down, North. We'll take it from here, guys, all right?
Well, they were without Buddy, who was being rested, which was bound to happen. Jake Lloyd and also Callum Mills is still out. And Chad Warner still isn't back in the team. So there were a few things kind of being thrown around a little bit. Hayden McLean had a really good game, taking strong contested marks again, which he kind of gets kicked out every time Buddy comes back into the team. I probably am maybe being a bit harsh, but I think Joel Amati offers more than what Sam Reed is offering at the moment. So I feel like that could have actually really helped at times, and especially last week as well. I feel like that change could have helped a lot. So I don't know, maybe the seniority of Sam Reed is keeping him there, but I feel like Amati could actually offer a bit more in terms of athleticism and contested marking and then actual, you know, set shot kicking. The Swans can't fall below sixth, so they don't have to take too many risks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those – and, I mean, the Nick Blakey injury, I know there's a few people pretty upset about it, but I don't know. I think the Swans are pretty well equipped to cover him in terms of a running defender. I think Colin O'Riordan, who was the medical sub, he's a pretty good replacement, and his kicking is – like, his kicking to get Hayward set up for that set shot in the fourth quarter was amazing. So – and there's other options, like Braden Campbell could always go back into defense and his kicking is really clean. Like, there's options to replace Blakey. Yeah. I just don't want to see them put Dawson back into defense.
Sydney Football Club, if you are listening, keep Dawson out of defense from Haggard's Footy.
Dear Sydney.
Yeah.
Dawson, keep him where he is.
He's too important on the wing, being that kind of conduit between the two rather than sitting back. Because when he's in defense, it's not about his kicking, which is his skill. It's about his marking, which is still very good, but he can do more further up the field. I'd prefer, you know, an O'Riordan to come in or a Campbell to be moved into defense rather than having to make that other change.
Yeah. Were you nervous?
Probably when it was a 4-point margin, I was like, okay, this is happening. But
yeah. I think
because they couldn't drop below sixth, it was like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I feel like what would have been...
arrogance, I feel.
That's not six. Shut up,
No. That's just wisdom and clarity, Tom.
And also, Gemma, honestly, if I was in your position there, what I would have been really worried about is if North Melbourne did win, you become that team that North Melbourne had like a very strong, heroic fight back win against.
Oh, no, we're the team that Gold Coast does it against.
Yeah. Well, you don't want that happening twice.
Well, Marvel Stadium next week. We'll see.
Gemma, do you know yet what day your game is next week?
Yeah, they've just announced it, like, as we're talking.
Oh, shit.
It's Saturday, 1:45.
Okay, so it's before Brisbane's game then.
Brisbane is Saturday, 4:35.
What? I heard it was going to be Saturday night, prime time.
Geelong, Melbourne. 7:45, Carlton GWS gets the evening
match
as well.
A bunch of bullshit.
Surely that's because the Giants couldn't have another 5-day break.
Gemma, can you keep that on screen? And we'll go through the rest of this. And when we're putting our tips in, we're going to rely on you because my stuff has not updated yet. I have no idea where the games are or when they are. I have no fucking idea what's going on at all, to be honest. a good win by Sydney in the end, just because like it would have easily like been very easy for them just to cop the North Melbourne tornado that rolled in the last quarter.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the 14-point margin probably flatters them a little bit because Comden got that kick after the siren to bring it down. You know, Errol Goulden, his impact forward, that fucked goal that he kicked, like Braden Campbell showing that he can actually be a really good pressure forward with his speed. Like, those are the things you want to be seeing at this time of the year when your ladder position is fairly confirmed. So those are all the positive things. I think Florent got found out a little bit, and I think his position in the side, if a Chad Warner were to become available, may be under threat a little bit because I think Florent, he doesn't track a player very well if he is assigned. So Tyron Thomas got just off the leash in that, was it second or third quarter? And Florent was the one running with him, and he just did not cover him at all. So there's things that obviously can be fixed, but then Tom Hickey goes and picks up the ball cleanly with one hand on the wing and delivers it beautifully forward, and you're like, my hero.
How?
It's an incredible play. If you can see vision of that, it's just watching the game and knowing that I've held a football, I'm like, I would, even if I was walking slowly and had all the time in the world to pick up a football with one hand that cleanly, I would struggle.
That's not a skill that a man that big should possess.
No.
Well, after the game as well, he got asked about it and he said, oh, my knees don't bend too well now, so I just have to do that.
I love that.
Insane.
The best.
And if you're a North Melbourne supporter, also this was a valiant effort. And again, another sign that next season, North Melbourne are going to be scary when it clicks.
Lids off.
Lids off big time. The lid has never been more off for a team that is getting the spoon. Like, they're going to... They're getting
the wooden
spoon.
First time they've ever got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked. 49 years.
Yeah, and Melbourne, if they win next week... Sorry, Tom. It'll be first time in, 54 years? 64 years?
First time since the 64 flag, which was their last flag.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then also, terrible news for Melbourne, only one team in the last decade has finished top of the ladder and then won the flag.
What team is that, Joel?
It was, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I feel like you're going to know the actual answer. I believe it was in 2013 with Hawthorn.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, nailed it.
Good well right, done.
Joel. Well done.
Oh, well the sweat
done.
That we all saw on your brow just now, Joel Dush.
Yeah.
Well, 2016, Swans finished top of the ladder, and we saw what happened there. So
yeah. And Western Bulldogs finished seventh.
Hey, so North have got, they're going to win the Wooden Spoon, and they've got 4.5 wins. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Chris Fagan's first year at Brisbane, they won 5 games and the Wooden Spoon. So I would say things tracking nicely.
North have Adelaide next week. It will be 5.5 wins.
Okay.
Well,
in Adelaide?
Kill Adelaide.
Now, Adelaide, you know, Adelaide played okay on the weekend.
Except, we'll get to that, because...
No, we won't. This game was boring.
Yeah, let's roll. What's next?
Well, Fritch kicked 7. That's probably worth
noting.
Yeah,
that's cool. Good
for
him.
He kicked Melbourne's last 5 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is also pretty
Someone
funny.
Had to.
then, Sunday afternoon...
here we
in
go.
A very, very, very dangerous game, and after the first... Like, it hit quarter time... Where so it was Essendon take on Gold Coast. And at quarter time, Essendon had been kicking with the breeze, and apparently it was a hectic breeze, and like the commentators called it a 4-goal breeze. Scores were level.
There is no such thing as a 4-goal breeze at GMHBA. The wind goes the wrong way.
Well, I mean, based on the kicks that I saw, Tom, I feel like the wind was definitely blowing towards one set of goals. But... I will agree with you disputing the 4-goal breeze theory, because Essendon in the second quarter, when they were kicking against the breeze, kicked 6 goals, 6, and just from that point onwards, Gold Coast were sadly dead. Stringer had a massive game, and something that is good to see is that he is... playing like he's in a football team and not just a football man. He is passing.
The pass nearly killed me. The one to Waterman?
Yeah.
Oh,
fucking hell, Jake.
Can I just point something out that I've just realised?
Mm.
That Essendon in the first quarter went 2-2, 8-8 in the second, 12-12 in the third, and 14-14 in the fourth?
Yeah, that's it.
That's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. A lot of, just like a lot of players turned up and had a great game. Like Guelphy kicked 2 goals, had 15 touches, which is, I feel bad for him because he's a good player, but we bring him in and out of the team all the time.
Got to keep him hungry.
Yeah, that's true. Until he has pink hair, then he's a lock. Give him the captaincy. Heppel again is proving that, like, he's just come back from having surgery on his thumb a week ago, missed 1 week of football and then was back, and like he didn't play the best game of his career, but he just showed like he's really good at leadership on ground, and especially without crowds you can just see it and hear it. Parrish and Merritt also had fucking enormous games. I was a bit sad to see Peter Wright didn't kick a goal, but he played a little bit further up the ground, so that was all right. But I just wanted him to kick a goal against his old club, the club that dogged him. There was a point, I'll be honest, where I was like, this could be 100 points, and I was dreaming pretty big. But in the end, it ended up being 11 goals, which I can deal
with. That's
pretty good. Because this
disappointing
is absolutely the type of game Essendon could have easily shit the bed on. And knowing that Essendon have Collingwood next week is making me the most scared a man's ever been.
Hey, Joel, destiny's in their hands, you could say.
I would say,
finally,
Tom, that Essendon, based on results, destiny's in their own hands.
It's true.
You're finally correct, Thomas. Well done.
And then finally, last game of the round, and the game that actually handed Essendon their own destiny, because prior to this game, Essendon's destiny was not in their own hands. It was in West Coast's losing hands. And yeah. In the Derby, West Coast won the last 11, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last Jesus.
Yeah, the that run is over because Frio beat West Coast to win the Derby, but then also to knock West Coast out of finals contention, sort of.
8-goal first quarter.
Yeah,
the high-scoring first quarter of any team this year.
That is
wow.
Fucked. Just and then just to then scare the shit out of all of the Freo supporters, they then kicked 4 for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Including only 2 after halftime.
Uh-huh. But one of them was magic.
One of them
the last
is...
goal of the game. Well, the last goal of the last Freo goal of the game.
Yeah. Just pure the goal that they needed to get that buffer back because West Coast were coming. And
yeah.
And Caleb Sarong was like, I'm going to kick a goal. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to make every Freo supporter shit their pants because I'm going to fall over.
Everyone's going to fall over. Every single person in a Freo jersey is just going to all of a sudden fall over.
And I'm going to get the ball after it was already out of bounds, but it hadn't been called.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I love, though, is that, like...
He kicked it from the third row of the seats.
But that's an indictment on West Coast players, right? He is able to fall over, push the ball on the ground, and then get back up, and no one gets anywhere near him.
Yeah, Dom Sheed.
Dom Sheed had a
Dom
shocker.
Dom Sheed punched Adam Chera in the stomach as well, didn't he?
Yeah. He got a big old fine for it.
He should have.
Yeah, I saw that punch. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing. You should get
suspended for that.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Mitch Duncan did get suspended for doing that a few years ago to Tom Papley.
Tom, your team have gotten off so many fucking suspensions in the last couple of weeks. Shut your goddamn mouth.
But Tom, you might know this. So the Dom Sheed one, I think it was intentional low impact, and then what's the other rating?
To the body. Oh, no, it was just striking. Yeah.
Yeah. But so for me, if it's striking and the grade is intentional, you should get suspended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should just be a week.
Starts at a week. Like he swings with a fair bit of force. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Should have been a free kick.
I didn't like it. He'll get booed now for years by that crowd.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good.
So, yeah, big result. It has meant that Essendon, as we've been saying all episode, are now in the eight. The second time this season that we have finished, like the round has ended with us in the eight. And I cannot believe that we are a team that all of a sudden is a strong contender for finals. It's fucked.
You just have to win.
I wouldn't get too far ahead of yourself, Joel.
You've just got to win.
Joel, and get as far ahead as you can, mate.
Gemma,
because if you get far enough ahead, they can't catch you and you're in.
Well, one thing. Okay, so let's quickly take a look at next round because the fixture is just updated on my phone. I have it locked in right in front of me.
Also, I don't have to read it anymore.
You can if you want. It's up
to
you.
No, I'm good.
Okay, I'll read it. So, Friday night at Marvel Stadium, Western Bulldogs take on Port Adelaide.
Huge.
That's Port. A Friday night blockbuster.
Port. The only time in my life I'll be barracking for Port Adelaide.
They haven't lost a game for about 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Well, also, Port have a big forward line and Western Bulldogs don't have a defensive line.
Yeah.
Bruce Mensalir can do whatever the fuck he wants in that back line.
And, you know, to beat Port, you just have to get on top in the midfield, but the Western Bulldogs midfield hasn't really been firing.
I need Port to win. I need it to happen, and I think it will. I don't think Ken Hinckley will let me down.
For friendship, I also need Port Adelaide to win.
Good. Very good.
I'm going to pick Port and pray. Pray so hard. Gemma?
Oh, Port. Yeah.
Port. And then Saturday afternoon at the MCG, Richmond take on Hawthorn.
Hawthorn.
The fuck you, Jeff Kennett.
Send Clarko out in style. Yep.
And Silk.
Kill Damien Hardwick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Silk. We assume. That's right. There hasn't been an official announcement.
Oh, I thought it had been announced.
Is it going to be one of those ones like the Harry Taylor one, where he didn't do it until after the game and went, by the way, that was my last game.
Like Emma Zilkey?
Yep. I reckon he will.
Could happen.
That's the hero's way to do it. Michael Voss did the same thing.
Adam actually. Goods.
Yeah.
Then, there's two games in Melbourne 10 minutes apart.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking cooking it with these start times.
So, yeah, the game we just spoke about was at 1:35 at the MCG, and at 1:45 at Marvel, we have Sydney take on Gold Coast.
Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney.
Don't say it.
Is that your home game, Gemma?
Yes.
Yeah, Marvel Stadium. Sydney plays well at. I mean, the Swans just can't beat Gold Coast at Metricon, but anywhere else they're okay. So I'm going Swans.
Or the SCG that time.
Yep.
Yeah, also that. Fucking Lockie Weller.
Then we have at 4:35 at the Gabba, Brisbane Prime take time. On West Coast.
Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Brisbane will have to win by, I think,
five goals.
Hope that Port Adelaide also win.
So if Port, you'll know, if Port win on Friday night, you've got to win by a minimum of 5 goals.
Yep.
But could you imagine if the Dogs finish outside the four?
Oh. It'd be so fucking good. Oh.
Then only one team just has to take care of business, maybe.
Come on, Robbo. Get back in that team and win the Norm Smith medal.
Oh, quickly on that, and this is super unrelated, but I just want to get this out there because it's very funny. Robbo was injured with a calf injury. He streams on Twitch. And during the Brisbane and Collingwood game, he couldn't be at the ground because of the COVID restrictions. So he was watching the game, but he couldn't broadcast the game. But he was watching it, providing his own commentary over Twitch. And his commentary was mostly yelling about umpires not paying throws. And mostly just... And his other go-to was being like... underrated player should be in contention for All-Australian, but they won't look at him. every Brisbane player is playing all Australian.
Yeah,
also an interesting thing, Mitch Robinson, I would have assumed that, I mean, even having a Twitch account as an active AFL player, I would have assumed was kind of a weird situation to put himself in. But if the AFL allowed that, I assumed there would be like a code of conduct. But that does not appear to be the case whatsoever.
No.
Loves every word. Loves a couple of four-letter ones the most. Yep. He is a wild, wild, wild man. And I love him.
That's why we love him. Good on him.
Anyway, Saturday night, Geelong take on Melbourne at GMHBA. Geelong.
Melbourne.
Is the Tom Stewart thing the factor, Sean?
Yeah, it contributes greatly to it, yeah.
Max Gawn against Reece Stanley.
Yeah.
Max, Reece Stanley has done well on Max Gawn in the past.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We will
see. He had 11 clearances, Max Gawn, on the weekend.
Yeah, he wasn't playing against Reece Stanley, was he?
He was still really good. Wait, who did he play? Riley O'Brien wasn't there.
I'm surprised there are so many games in Melbourne considering they just tightened up our lockdown restrictions. No, but that's fine. Yeah, but
Tom, if you win and things go my way, week one of the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friendship tested again. It survived last year. Will it survive again? Hard to say. Did it survive last year?
Hard to say. Then Carlton take on Giants at Marvel.
Giants should kill them.
Giants. If Giants lose this, they are putting themselves very much in a chance to shit the bed for finals big time.
If Sean's plan goes ahead and the Giants lose, then we might be set up for a Western Bulldogs Giants final.
I'm going Carlton.
Eddie Betts kicking 10.
Yep, Eddie Betts, emotional release of a game. And the Giants have done weird shit this year where they lose when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Giants.
There was actually the AFL put out a ladder, or not a ladder, it was just like a ranking listing of teams that have lost when they've gone in as favourites. And yeah, Giants towards the top, Essendon towards the bottom. They've only lost once when they were the favourite, and it was against GWS.
They're never favourites.
Correct. And I would prefer it that way. Anyway, Sunday, the last Sunday of the AFL fixture. St Kilda take on Fremantle at venue TBC, apparently.
Freo. Love TBC.
It's a great ground.
Get Brayshaw back.
St Kilda.
Freo. Freo can still make the finals if they win this.
And Essendon loses.
Essendon lose. Or if Giants lose and Freo win. I think that still works.
Now, Giants have got that... you're right.
Yeah, because, Freo are in 40 points.
Yep.
If Giants lose, West Coast or Freo can still make the finals. Same if Essendon lose. If both teams lose, West Coast and Freo could go 7th and 8th. It's still very up in the air. And then what will be one of the most stressful Sundays of my entire life. Essendon take on Collingwood. Second last game of the round. Essendon win, they're in the 8. If Essendon lose, they could still technically be in the 8. Because these results have all happened before our game happens. But I would be shitting myself.
Essendon.
Essendon. Say it, Sean. Go on.
Essendon.
Gemma?
Yes, Essendon.
And then, to bring home the home and away season, 17th plays 18th. Adelaide take on North Melbourne at Adelaide Oval.
North.
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 Adelaide.
Right. We would usually go to emails now, but this episode it's a juicy one with a lot of news, a lot of results, a lot of talk. So we're going to save the inbox for next week. Thank you again, Gemma, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And
pleasure.
Gemma, if people want to find you, where should they listen to your podcast, and also where should they find you online for all of the information? You are so much more clever than any of us. And if anyone follows How Good's Footy and doesn't follow Gemma on Twitter, that's insane. It's just insane. It's a bad call.
My Twitter is probably the easiest place, so just JL Bastiani on Twitter, and I share everything there.
Hell yeah. And Gemma's Twitter will be in our show notes as well, which you can check out below. And Tom, if people want to send us an email or find us individually, where can they do that?
You can send an email to howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at HowGoodsFooty, unless we've been banned for threatening to destroy various important artifacts belonging to the CEO because he won't move the women's tournament. There, you won't be able to find us there. But you will be able to find me individually. I'm at Orchid Trade.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13. And if Essendon do not beat Collingwood, don't try and contact me. Don't email. Don't tweet. Leave me alone. But when we come together next week, there's a chance that all four of us are in finals. And by a chance, I mean three out of four of us are a lock for finals. And if I don't let the team down, woohoo! Oh, footy is exciting.
This is huge. The roast at Terrence's house depends on this, Joel.
Fucking hell. I'm sweating.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.